Live from Washington, D.C., it's Quintessential Listening, Poetry Online Radio. QLPOR, as it's widely known, features a bevy of poets, spoken word artists, and live poetry readings with best-selling authors. Your host is Dr. Michael Anthony Ingram.
My special guest is a multidisciplinary storyteller. She's an acclaimed singer-songwriter. In fact, Note Speak 12, the poetic musical album, received a 5-star rating from Downbeat magazine, which is extremely rare. She is also a noted essayist and a renowned published poet based in Italy. Her name is Lisa Marie Simmons. Welcome to the program.
Michael, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for that very kind introduction.
My first question to you is, what is poetry?
That's such a difficult question. I think about the fact that all of us have this inner landscape that you can never 100% know a person, crawl inside their mind, but you can a bit with poetry. It's a way of expressing the inexpressible. It's a way of capturing the ephemeral. And it's also, and I think this will probably lead into more questions that you might have, but I think it's also a way of creating empathy. The other thing I love about poetry is that once a poem is written or a song is written, it's out in the world, and it's not just whatever feeling that I'm trying to grasp and craft and create, but it's what the reader sees in that feeling. So there's where I'm talking about empathy as well. Just this idea that this way of sharing a profound sense of unity through the crafting of words. I'm in love with words, and I'm in love with words because of the way that we can use them to share what is so difficult to speak about in conversation. Distilling the essence of a feeling or a thought.
You said landscape. Mm. So in terms of a poetic landscape, how expansive is it?
Oh gosh, that's beautiful. It's as expansive as the universe. One of the things that I love about music and poetry is you never stop learning. Mm. There's so much that you can do and say and communicate through those mediums. And I love the craft of it, learning how using sounds and notes and words, how you can express an intensity of emotion. And the more that you learn about crafting that and the way, different ways that you could do that, through rhythm, through notes, through figurative language, the more that you learn, the more that you can distill these ideas.
So knowing what you know about the world and about your craft, why is poetry important?
This goes back to what I was saying about empathy. I've learned through my travels is that the more that you travel, the more commonality you find. Like the more you see how much we're all the same as human beings. I believe deeply that we are all connected and that we are all one. And it always feels corny and silly to say that, but I feel it in my heart. I'm just looking into your eyes right now as we do this on Zoom and prepare this, I feel that spark with you. There's that energy. And I think that is it's everywhere and it's everyone. We are all connected. We really are all one.
What are some of the predominant themes that you write about in your work?
That's a great question. And it does vary because of the fact that I am a multidisciplinary writer. If I'm writing with essays, it's usually an individual experience of mine that I choose to use, like the micro vision of my life to speak to a larger issue. I write a lot about transracial adoption because that's something that I experienced. I was adopted by a white woman and her Black husband. And so that journey and what that was like is a big focus on my essays mm-hmm. and on a book that I'm working on right now. But this particular album, which we're talking about today, is called Notespeak 12. And when we began working on it, I told my partner, my writing partner, who helps with the music, Marco Cremaschini. He's a composer, pianist. And I said, musically, I want to talk about unity. I want to talk about that spark that we all share. So that's the basis of this album. And we approach that musically and poetically. If I have to put a definition to this album, it's about unity, connection, and empathy.
Lisa Sherpool.
Okay, I'll be happy to. With what we just were talking about, I think Individually One is a good poem. Individually One. The blue throat's song, trillingly clear. Soar, swoop, dip, dive, arrow piercing infinitude. While we remain here tethered still and weak. Tiny thoughts tangled far below their talons, believing that there is a hierarchy in place. We tussle, wreaking havoc as we shriek, fight the current, resist the glide, squawk. Undulating rainbows merge, colored fins attuned to one another. They slip through the tide. Rafts of otters belong together, holding hands as they drift. Whispering trees, secret symbiotic presence. Our beauty lies within these suits of skins, bird, fish, mammal, forest, ancient or nascent human craves flourishing touch. A piece of me in you and me and him and her. Nothing stands alone. To the flock, we are born. That's the end. Now, I'm going to play for you the musical version of that poem. It's from my album called Notespeak 12, which is out on Ropadope Records.
The Blue Throat's song, trilling clear. Rise, dip, glide, dive, arrow, piercing infinitude. While we remain here, tethered, still, and weak. Tiny thoughts tangled far below their talons, believing that there's a hierarchy to seat. We tussle, wreaking havoc as we shriek, fight the current, resist the glide, squawk me. Me, 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 me. Undulating rainbows merge colored fins attuned to one another. They slip through the tide. Rafts of otters belong together, holding hands as they drift. Presence. Our beauty lies within these suits of skins. Bird, fish, mammal, forest, ancient or nascent human craves flourishing touch. Nothing stands alone. To the flock, we are born.
I'd like to go back in your past, if we may.
Please.
What was an early experience where you learned that poetic language had power?
I love that question. Alice Walker, Maya Angelou. As I said, I was born, I was adopted. My whole story is so long, but let's say the second adoption, I was rehomed at the age of 8 by a white woman and a black man in Boulder, Colorado in the 70s. Mm. And in Boulder, Colorado at the time was 2% ethnic, which means all ethnicities other than white, Protestant, that was like the basis of the town. And I did wonder about what my blackness meant. Mm. And then Roots came out and I watched that on television and started to get a sense of, and this is when I'm just a little girl, of what being black in America meant. But I didn't have anybody that I could really talk to and that really gave me any kind of sense of my identity as far as being a black girl. And then when I found the books of Maya Angelou and of Alice Walker in particular, those were two of the first books that I remember buying, and the beauty of the language, that and also Billie Holiday, many singers, but especially Billie Holiday, because I had a difficult childhood, and to listen to her, the pain that she carried in her voice, the depth of the blues in her voice spoke to me. And the way that you can put words together to communicate this experience and find yourself in it was revelatory to me. That it made me feel like, oh gosh, I'm not alone. Somebody else has had this experience. There's a reason that I'm here, and there's somebody out there who knows what I'm feeling, what I'm going through, you know? That, again, we're back to connection. Words, both literature and song, were an integral part of why I was able to survive a really traumatic beginning in my life, because I was able to see that I wasn't the only one who was suffering. And this, I think, is very important also, and I try to do this in my writing too, especially if I'm talking about trauma, is that we can construct and use words in a way that is helpful to somebody who's going through trauma. I don't think we need to throw trauma when we write, but that we should do the opposite even when we're writing about something traumatic. It shouldn't be something that's going to hurt the listener. It should be something that will be able to uplift or instruct or help the listener, and that's an onus on the writer, and I think it's a really important one. And the things that I read about, although I read about traumatic and frightening and difficult events, they were written in such a way that they were instructive to me and inspiring.
The word hurt, does it hurt you to write poetry? If not, why not?
Oh God, you're so good. I told you when we started this, I just love you. I love your questions. You're so smart. They're not questions that everybody asks. You ask really unusual questions, and I love that. Okay. And I love the way you listen so hard. And this I found from your podcast and all of the ones that I've listened to. You always do this. You really listen to what's being said and pick the important bits out. So anyway, thank you for that. Hurt. Sometimes when I'm writing something, it does start from a place where I am in pain, but that's the beauty also of poetry. And I like to write free verse, but I also like to write within a structure. I like to write sonnets and rondo primes like that last one, and any kind of structured poetry I love as well. And the reason that I love something that's structured is because it does allow you to sort of take a step back and be able to look at that pain from an outside point of view as you construct the poem. And then again, I've been doing this for such a long time that I'm very aware of the audience. I think so often of myself as a little girl in pain and being soothed and comforted by, like I said, Billie Holiday's voice and so many others. So as I write, I'm often thinking of the reader. that's very much in my mind's eye, and I'm thinking about how I can express this thing without damaging.
So how does a poem begin for you? With an idea, a form, or an image?
All of the above. There's not any one way that I stick to writing. Sometimes I hear a phrase, sometimes I see an image, sometimes I have a dream. With NoteSpeak, I did have this idea of musically joining two different forms. We're joining dodecaphony, which is a distinctly European form of music. It's a 12-note scale. And married to Afrobeat, which is obviously an African form of music, but also very much informed by the civil rights movement in the United States. To bring these very disparate worlds together, it was our way of musically speaking about unity. So as I wrote the poems for this album, I really wanted to stick to those concepts.
Please share a poem.
We were talking about hurt. This one's called I Think I Understand. I think I understand cutting now, as much as someone who doesn't do it can. I know the feeling of I cannot live in this skin. The feeling of when is this hurt gonna end? The feeling of how to get rid of this pain, how to distract my brain. I think I understand cutting now, divorcing oneself from the gasping, midnight, wake, shivering, shaking, quake. I thought I was gonna die, but here I heave and heave and lie. Here I heave and lie. I think I understand cutting now, when there's no other choice, when you can't see beyond, when this moment is all, when I am feeling so small and I cannot grip. Every signpost lost, no touchstone heals, no distraction to be found, no song to be sung, no words to be read, no salve for the wound, no spot that is safe, no respite, no grace. I think I understand cutting now. Layer, layers thick, all my lives heaped like bricks, covering my inadequacies, covering insecurity, walling up the interior, covering what's past and done and gone, safe from probing exteriors, buried deep, so deep I cannot reach down, down so deep, only revealed on the cusp of sleep. When defenses are released, when I'm almost at peace, then the jerk, the pulling up, the breathless inhale as I flail, and there it is. Though I'd hoped last time was the final time, but here it is, the gasp, 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 gasping, midnight, wake, shivering, shaking, quaking. I think I understand. Cut it now. End of poem. Now, the musical version of that poem, I Think I Understand.
Light, spark, scintilla, flame, blazing. Contained within each part of the whole, Filaments bind, twine like audio cables, loving each other, all entangled. You can try to roll each one apart, coils neatly dressed. Jack, cable, cannon, USB, MIDI, Thunderbolt. Everyone that we need to make our music clear and clean. Each placed tenderly in one bag. When it's opened up again, there they twist, there they twine. They cannot lay separate. It's as if they are desperate to connect to each other through any means found. When my back is turned, they twirl around, they dance, they drink like they know I'm gone. Everywhere your eye falls, branches, tree trunks, mountain ranges, strata formed, muscle, sinew, bone, all separately linked, coiled together to form the whole. Piles of yarn left to their own devices will also throw a riotous party, with pink and orange and green colliding despite our best intentions, despite our careful rolling up. Open that bag and there they drunkenly lie untucked. All this marvelous mess, we tangle though we're connected by the light, bound by the dark, snarled up human hearts with our wires crossed. Still we burn and sparkle and fizz. We are effervescent. A common blaze inside each of us. All this marvelous mess, we tangle though we're connected by the light and bound by the dark. Snarled up human hearts with our wires crossed. Still we burn and sparkle and fizz. We are effervescent, luminescence. Connected by the light, bound by our dark, the shadows and flames woven. I said, connected by the light, bound by our dark, the shadows and flames are woven. Connected by the light, bound by our dark, the shadows and flames are woven. Connected by the light and bound by our dark, shadows and flames are woven. Connected by the light and bound by our dark, the shadows and flames are woven. Connected by the light and bound by our dark, the shadows and flames are woven. Talking over you. Talking over me. Talking over you. Talking over me. Connected by the light and bound by a dark, the shadows and flames are woven. Connected by the light and bound by a dark, the shadows and flames are woven. Talking over you. Talking can only be. I think I understand cutting now as much as someone who doesn't do it can. I know the feeling of I can't live in this skin. The feeling of when is this hurt gonna end? The feeling of how to get rid of this pain, how to distract my brain. Gonna die, but here I heave and heave and lie. Here I heave, heave and lie. I think I understand cutting now, when there's no other choice, when you can't see beyond, when this moment is all, when I'm feeling so small. For the wound, no spot that is safe, no respite, no grace. I think I understand cutting now. Layer, layer, layers thick, all my lives heaped like bricks, covering inadequacies, covering insecurity. Interior, covering what's past and done and gone, safe from probing exteriors buried deep, so deep I cannot reach down, 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 so deep, only revealed on the cusp of sleep. When defenses are released, when I'm almost at peace, then the jerk pulling up. The breathless inhale as I flail and I flail, and there it is, though I'd hoped last time was the final time. But here it is, the gasp, 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 the gasping midnight wake, shivering, shaking, quake. And I think I understand cutting now.
That's a really interesting piece because I was almost afraid to put it on the album, to be perfectly frank, because it's such a heavy subject matter. And I didn't want to co-opt the experience either of something that I do not do. But I approached it from my own experience of getting to that point where I had some things happen in my life that led to panic attacks. I remember putting rubber bands around my wrist and snapping them because just that pain was the only thing that could take me out of the moment. I really couldn't read. I couldn't write. I couldn't do anything. I'm a sunny person most frequently. So prior to that experience, I really couldn't understand the idea of suicide or of cutting. I could not imagine getting to that point. And then my youngest sister took her life. Then, like I said, some other things of my own life, going through menopause and just the changes of life where I suddenly got it. I suddenly was like, okay. I understand how someone can come to this point. I'm glad I put it on the album because it has resonated with so many people. I've gotten so many emails and messages about that piece, both from people who do cut and from people who live with people who cut. I'm very glad that I put it out there. And again, I was trying to write about this deep pain and this deep hurt without inflicting hurt.
Lisa, what do you think your work conveys about being human?
Wow, that's deep. What does it convey about being human?
Your body of work.
I'm thinking of all of the different things that I've done, and I'm trying to find that thread that runs through it all. It's funny that I'm stuck on empathy and connection, but I think that if you look across all of the things that I do, essays or poems or songs that I sing, stories that I write, they're all very much about connection and about my humanity. I'm going to go back to my childhood. I was in an abusive home. Mm-hmm. And I think that if I had held on to that abuse and buried it and pushed it down, that it certainly would have damaged me. I think I'm sure that is what happened to my sister, mm-hmm. Who took her life during COVID. And I think that what I'm trying to do through my work is to, one, do the same thing that was done for me and have that place that somebody can feel like they're not alone. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the humanity of my work. Here's a space for you. Here's a space for that feeling or that thought. And then the other thing I think about the humanity that my work expresses is joy, is the joy that I have at being alive. I think that runs through all of my work just as much, just the awe and wonder at what it is to be alive.
So as a poet, what do you believe is the first step to becoming more self-aware?
I'm a great believer in meditation. And it's something that I've been doing since I was quite young because I grew up in Boulder, Colorado, as I said before. And it's such a granola hippie town. But even as young children, we were taught in school. I'm thinking about high school. I'm thinking about high school where I had a teacher that I mention in just about every interview I do. Her name is Rita Cotter, and she was my drama teacher. And she taught me how to meditate. This idea of just being able to delve into that inner landscape that we began this conversation with and to be still and listen, I think is essential if you want to try to get to a kernel of truth. Being able to have that capacity, I think, is really important. So I guess finding a way to be still and hear yourself, I think, is, or hear your inner self is essential for a poet.
Lisa, please share another piece.
We were talking about meditation and finding a way to get at a kernel of truth that you then want to share. And this piece is called I Got a Hunch. Clear-eyed child, milky-eyed elder, they see everything more clearly. Baby girl knows from where she came. They feel it more clearly. Baby girl knows from where she came. Grandfather knows where he will go. They sigh. It's okay. It's all okay. Intuition, seeing the invisible. It's the bell's peal, peeling away skepticism, gut trusting reverberation, echoing endlessly. But in between childhood and the edge of passage, it can hurt. Embodied knowledge lost to the struggle embedded inside our bodies. It can hurt. Eye of your mind, therein there lies solution upon solution. Eye of your mind, therein they lie subconsciously, they are creating. Grasping moments of mercy, temporary rest in this temporary place where nothing is built to last. Suddenly swoop like a seagull borne along the breeze, rising, dipping effortlessly. Trust arise as we soar on that flight, easing along that unseen path. It's lost. It can hurt. Embodied knowledge lost to the struggle embedded inside our bodies. It can hurt. You don't got to think. You just got to hear what's calling. And adhere. I have your mind, therein there lies solution upon solution. Connect my mind to my body and align to the atmosphere. End of poem.
Please play the musical version.
Okay. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, of course.
Grasping moments of mercy,
temporary rest in this temporary place where nothing is built to last. Suddenly swoop like a seagull, borne along the breeze, rising, dipping, effortlessly trust arise as we soar on that flight, easing along the unseen path. It's lost, well, it can hurt. Lost to the struggle, embedded inside our bodies. Ah, oh, it can hurt, it can hurt, it can hurt, it can hurt, it can hurt. We all had it, we all got it, we all gonna get it.
Just gotta hear what's calling, and it here. the atmosphere.
It is about trusting intuition, looking for it, seeking it out.
Tell me about a poem you were proud of writing, but afraid to share for fear of misinterpretation.
Light.
I don't know if you've read that piece that I wrote for Huffington Post. It was about my adoptive grandfather who was KKK member.
Each part.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. But
filaments bind, twine, like
the point of that piece,
loving each other, all entangled,
was not, oh my gosh, what a horrible life. It was not to malign that gentleman either. It was using that experience to talk to a larger issue, and that is racism in Boulder, Colorado.
You can try to
and the fact that
apart,
it purports to be this town that's progressive, and especially in the 1970s, but even today, without acknowledging the deeply racist history that is at the root of that place. So that's what I was addressing in that essay. But of course, a lot of people came at me and said, how dare you speak so horribly about your grandfather?
I didn't.
Each, if you read the piece, I didn't. I'm talking about history.
When it's opened up again,
but I didn't really know him. I had just been adopted. I was there just a couple years. But in the time that I knew him, I did not know this fact about him. I didn't know that he was a racist. He was kind and loving to me, and I actually felt safe, like really safe, in his presence. So that paradox is just so interesting to me. And again, like you said, it can be open to misinterpretation that you've embraced white supremacy. There's a lot of ways that you can look at the way that I wrote that piece. And that's for everybody to interpret their own way. If I've done my job properly for a big piece like that, for an essay like that, it will resonate with whom it needs to resonate in the proper way. And then shorter pieces, poems, or songs, they are so open to interpretation, and it's not my job to limit what you might think of it. If that speaks to you and speaks to you in a different way than I intended, a poem, that's okay. You can interpret it the way you want.
Open that bag
and there they drunkenly lie on the tuck.
What is the relationship between your speaking voice and your reading voice?
All
so,
this marvelous mess.
With my speaking voice, I am
bound by the dark,
a little bit insecure because I spend so much time still crafting. When I write, I'm a big researcher. Whether I'm doing a free verse or a structured poem, I spend so much time over every single word until I can be happy with it. And sometimes that takes months. So when I'm speaking off the cuff like this, I'm certainly a lot less secure. I'm always reaching for
human hearts with our wires.
How can I say it?
Still
I just want to
and sparkle and fizz.
To express
we are
the purity of whatever thought or whatever conversation that we're having or that I'm trying to put on paper. I'm always reaching for the pure essence, whether I'm speaking or writing. I don't always achieve it when I'm speaking. I tend to ramble, as I have done with you today. I tend not to be as succinct and concrete as I would like to be. So, yeah. There's where the difference lies. I tend to talk too much because I want to really try to get there, make sure I get it all in there. Whereas with my writing, I really refine it as much as possible. Connected by the whatever type of writing. I got those shadows and
flames of gold. We're almost at the end of our poetic journey, but we've also reached a part of the program that I like the best. I view it as being a mini poetry concert. This is an opportunity for you to share two of your favorite
connected
works.
By the light and bound by our dark
back to back.
Shadows and flames of war.
No interruptions from me.
Connected by the light
I'd like
and
you to go to a place that you know all so well.
Connected by the light and bound by our dark those shadows and flames
thank
of war.
It's been such a pleasure being here. It's just been so much fun. I feel like I have a new friend. All right, let's begin with hair. When I was a girl, I was desperate to have long, straight hair. There are pictures of me dancing with myself and I around the yard with streams of yarn pulled through my short, kinky hair, pretending to be a princess, or a face from a magazine, a teacher, a newscaster, and an actress. Wonder Woman with my wonderful protective bulletin that you bracelets, whoosh, and my wonderful protective lick, long, long, straight. My white adopted mother in our white bread town could never satisfy that longing for long, straight hair. She'd bring me, wee running optimistically to the beauty salon after they special ordered a hair straightener for my tightly packed, curly, frizzy, nappy curls. The optimism of those boxes, cheerfully colored, with an inevitable picture of a cheerfully colored girl grinning with her long, straight hair, and I just knew that this time I'd come out looking like the rest of my friends at school. All those white girls with their beautiful, fine hair, now that was beauty. At least that's what the media was telling me. One day, I came home from school to a magazine for girls of 17, and there was what? There must be some mistake, is that? I rubbed my eyes, blinked, and rubbed again. Could it be? A black girl? Sherry Belafonte, with short, kinky, kinky hair, and she was beautiful. I didn't need the media to see, so I cut off my impossible, spiky, standing out, never tame, imitation hair that had me crying every time I tried to force it to conform, frustrating all attempts at long, long, straight, straight, and coming out more like the wet and angry head of hair on a bird after a bath. And that was that. The second poem in this little mini poem concert is Fazioli. Fazioli is the brand of piano. It's Steinway, Italian piano. Waking up beside him, I pull the sheets over my head. And with his slim piano-playing fingers, he pulls them down again. His laugh fills my eyes. He's up and tempting me out of bed with fragrant black coffee. But I don't want to leave our nest. I'd rather stay here and enjoy the rest of this late morning sun warming my bun as he lazily uses those hands whose fingers have been running scales up and down my legs and arms all night long. Crescendos and decrescendos fill his dreams, my body a fazioli, cover open, resounding in the room. Sounding out the chords F minor, B flat 7, and E flat, resonating within back to where we all begin. The smoke from the night before lingers in my hair from a retro cellar bar which decadently ignores the law and wants to recreate jam sessions long gone, when folks like Monk and Billy, Miles and Horace reigned supreme, and the smell of him. Like a schoolroom in autumn. It's a memory, sunshine and freshly sharpened pencils with a hint of fallen leaves. He smells of learning and growth, and thus what other sustenance is necessary? Kissing him, I drink in all I need. It is life-sustaining. Kissing him feels like gulping down a long, tall, cool glass of water greedily on a hot summer's day.
Lisa, you epitomize a multidisciplinary artist. And we only have an opportunity today to focus on your achievement in writing. Do you think you were meant to be a writer?
I do. I'm so in love with words. I couldn't have been anything else.
What do you think you've learned about yourself?
Through writing, what I have learned about myself are so many things, from the most mundane, from the smallest little things to humongous things. I was adopted and I spent my life telling myself that family was what I made. The people that I chose to bring into my life were those who would be my family, and that I had no need of a blood connection. That was not a necessary thing for me. And then I wrote an album called Identity, which was actually by my band Hippie Tendencies, which is the previous project to what I'm doing now. And it was an album where I sang and I explored all of the different aspects of my identity within this album. And got to a place where I felt very happy in my skin and very happy with the life I've chosen, and felt like I was doing the right thing, the right job, and in the right place, and with the right man, and just that everything felt good and right. At that point, I would meditate after my yoga in the morning, and I had this compulsion, this desire to thank my ancestors, because I finally realized that I did not come from a void. I did not come fully formed into this earth, that there are people who came before me and that they gifted me the resiliency to get through the life that I have. They gifted me the artistry that I have. All of this didn't come from nowhere. It came from somewhere. And so I had this desire and I really felt their presence to thank my ancestors. And after a couple of years of this, I found my birth mother. Long story short. And I think writing led me to that and taught me about myself that I did desire that connection to my blood.
Wow. You're such a fascinating individual. Would you favor us with one final piece before you go?
I would. And let me just say one more time, what an honor and joy it has been to be here with you today. We've laughed and we've had so much fun getting to know one another. Thank you again so much for having me here. And the last piece, maybe I'll read it for you and maybe we can play a musical version on our way out. It's from my album called Note Speak 12. It's called Blaze and it's about the connection that we all share. Light, spark, scintilla, flame, blazing contained within each part of the whole, filaments bind, twined like audio cables, loving each other, all entangled. You can try to roll each one apart, coils neatly dressed, jack, cable, cannon, USB, MIDI, thunderbolt, every one that we need to make our music clear and clean. Each placed tenderly in one bag, and when it's opened up again, there they twist, there they twine. They cannot lay separate. It's as if they are desperate to connect to each other through any means found. When my back is turned, they twirl around. They dance, they drink like they know I'm gone. Everywhere your eye falls, branches, tree trunks, mountain ranges, stratiformed muscle, sinew, bone, all separately linked, coiled together to form a whole. Piles of yarn, left to their own devices, will also throw a riotous party, with pink and orange and green colliding, despite our best intentions, despite our careful rolling up, open that bag, and there they drunkenly lie untucked. All this marvelous mess. We tangle, though we're connected by the light, bound by the dark, snarled up human hearts with our wires crossed. Still we burn and sparkle, and fizz, we are effervescent luminescence.
Before we go, where can people find you?
Okay, everywhere. Lisa Marie Simmons. You can find me on Instagram. You can find my website is lisamariesimmons.com. You can find me on Twitter. Well, I'm active on Twitter. go to my website and you get the links to all those places. Of course, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, anywhere you listen to music, you can find me there as well.
Right. What's next for you creatively? Where do you go from here?
Oh, gosh. So I'm in the middle of a podcast. We just released our first episode last week. It's called Data the Podcast, and it's about transracial adoption with a great friend of mine called Dionne Draper. She lives in Bristol. And so that's a new adventure for me. I've never hosted a podcast. So I will be continuing that. And of course, I'm always writing. I'm working on a book. It's a fictionalized memoir. It's going to take me years and years, but I'm enjoying the process and I'm in the middle of that. And then, of course, more albums, more music, more poetry. Blaze, the musical version.
Light, spark, scintilla, flame. Blazing, contained within each part of the whole. Filaments bind, twined like audio cables, loving each other, all entangled. You can try to roll each one apart, coils neatly dressed. Jack, cable, cannon, USB, MIDI, Thunderbolt. Everyone that we need to make our music clear and clean. Each placed tenderly in one bag. When it's opened up again, there they twist, there they twine. They cannot lay separate. It's as if they are desperate to connect to each other through any means found. When my back is turned, they twirl around, they dance, they drink like they know I'm gone. Everywhere your eye falls, branches, tree trunks, mountain ranges, strata form, muscle, sinew, bone, all separately linked, coiled together to form the whole. Piles of yarn to their own devices will also throw a riotous party with pink and orange and green colliding despite our best intentions, despite our careful rolling up. Open that bag and there they drunkenly lie untucked. All this marvelous mess, we tangle though we're connected by the light, bound by the dark, snarled up human hearts with our wires crossed. Still we burn and sparkle and fizz. We are effervescent. A common blaze inside each of us. All this marvelous mess. We tangle, though we're connected by the light and bound by the dark. Snarled up human hearts with our wires crossed. Still we burn and sparkle and fizz. We are effervescent. Shadows and flames woven. said, connected by the light and bound by our dark, those shadows and flames are woven. Connected by the light and bound by our dark, those shadows and flames are woven. Connected by the light and bound by our dark, shadows and flames are woven. Connected by the light and bound by our dark, those shadows and flames are woven. Connected by the light and bound by our dark, those shadows and flames are woven. Talking over you. Talking over me. Talking over you. Talking over me. Connected by the light and bound by a dark, those shadows and flames are woven. Connected by the light and bound by a dark, the shadows and flames are woven. Talking over you. Talking over me.
There we go. That's a nice, upbeat ending to the show.
I want to thank you so much for sharing your talent. You're phenomenal. The album is Notespeak 12. Buy it today. To the listeners, as I share with you every time we're together, let poetry ring somewhere throughout the land. Take care.
Quintessential Listening, Poetry Online Radio, is available on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. You can also check out the website at qlpor.com.